Welcome to our new show, the What Anyone Can Do podcast with Leo Battari and me, Randy Cantrell. Our new show picks up where the last show, Year of the Peer, left off, highlighting the simple truth that who you surround yourself with matters, and that if we enlist the support of others, give back to those who give to us, and pay it forward for the next generation, we can do anything. Author and keynote speaker Leo Battari and I will interview a diverse group of thought leaders who will share stories and insights that will help you succeed in business and in life. How? By doing the things anyone can do, but most of us never will. Welcome to another episode of What Anyone Can Do, the podcast. My name is Randy Cantrell. He is Leo Battari, and we've got a guest today. Leo, I'll let you do the introduction.
Yes, we do. A very special guest today. Jennifer Vessels, CEO of Next Step. And Jennifer and I basically met through LinkedIn and through a kind of a mutual acquaintance that kind of connected us. And we've been talking about a lot of the initiatives she has going on, which, as you'll find out soon, why they are of such incredible interest to me. But let me get started by just having Jennifer, in your own words, tell us about yourself and about Next Step. And let's take it from there.
Super. Thank you. It is definitely an honor to be here. So as Leo mentioned, my name is Jennifer Vessels, and I'm really a Silicon Valley veteran. I built Next Step after a number of years experience in technology and non-technology sales, marketing, and helping organizations go to market. I actually worked for a company called Ungerman Bass in the 90s and was leading their sales operations at a time of a lot of change in the market and a lot of growth, and took an opportunity to go to Europe and build the European go-to-market and channels and sales for UB, based in Brussels, the UK, for a number of years. And during that period, one of the partners that we brought on was a company called Tonberg, which was a video conferencing company up in Oslo, Norway. And so I had the opportunity to accept a role with Tonberg for international sales director, and lived in Oslo then for about 4 years, building their business across Europe. And ultimately, we launched Tonberg US at the end of the 90s, at which point I came back to Silicon Valley and built Next Step. And in essence, Next Step is a consulting company that in many ways is made up of the concept of the power of peers. Because my vision when I formed Next Step was to bring together different areas of sales, marketing, go-to-market, leadership that I had really seen deliver results in companies, bring those capabilities and competencies together in a team of consultants that could work holistically together to help organizations grow and change. Over the last years, 15, 16 years, our team has grown to 40 consultants, and we've had significant impact with tech companies such as Google, Palo Alto, Cisco, et cetera, as well as a lot of non-tech companies, ranging from GE, Lilly, to Sugar Bowl Bakery, Parts Authority, helping organizations achieve real, lasting, measurable results through practical approaches delivered by a group, a peer group of consultants, with working together in a team and a holistic approach.
So this holistic approach that clearly caught your interest probably earlier in your career, either because you saw it working really well somewhere, or you saw that it wasn't happening at all, and you thought, like, what would happen if we actually got these people communicating and working together? So for you, which was it? Or maybe it was a combination of the two that kind of brought you to this place where you felt that it was A, so necessary, and B, something that's become a real passion of yours.
Very good point. And I think it's really twofold. One is a descriptor of me as a person in my personal life and my business is that I am a connector. I am a community builder. I'm always looking for how can you take person A and person B, have them work together and achieve something bigger. So I think part of it is just an innate part of my being, if you will. Secondly, from having the experience of worked in three technology companies prior to forming NextStep, I absolutely recognized that for sustainable long-term success, you couldn't have just one silo of capabilities and excellence. Marketing on its own does not lead to long-term revenue generation. With marketing, you need sales, you need leadership. So it was a combination of my experience as well as my nature of how can multiple people work better together to solve bigger problems.
So with that, I think what's interesting, though, is that you've taken that concept, which can work really well within organizations, but then I think, and as we've talked about offline, being the systems thinker as you are, also start looking at this more broadly, which I think has, in my view, has certainly fueled this new initiative that you've got going on now called the Executive Growth Alliance. And so I think just conceptually, I'd like you to talk about that for a little bit, because it really kind of becomes, again, a kind of a larger look at things in terms of our whole ecosystem, not just what goes on at a particular company. And tell us a little bit about that and where it is and kind of how you're thinking about it and how you may hope to communicate and inspire people to understand and maybe participate.
Sure. So the way that came about is over the years from the formation of NextStep, we have taken on bigger and bigger challenges with our clients, from growth and scaling to the last 5 to 8 years, we've really become known as the team and the experts in future readiness and business transformation. Some of that comes as a result of the great experience we had working with Adobe in their transformation from a software company, i.e. Creative Suites, to a service company, Creative Cloud, Experience Cloud. So over the last years, as we've built that reputation of future readiness, we've received a lot of requests for companies to apply those principles in their businesses. And so we've adapted a concept of bringing clients together to learn from each other in Silicon Valley and in America. Now, jump out to about 2016, where we were getting a lot of requests for consulting work from some of my previous colleagues and friends in Europe, including Oslo. And we were engaged in 2016 with Avinor, which is the airport authority in Oslo. And the challenge that they brought to us was, how can we define new business models, new digital services in order to be relevant in the future? And very tactically, the question came up many times of how can we come up with a really cool app and get people to use it so we can gain customer data? And so I, as a passenger in airports, recognize that if I'm going to use an app on my mobile phone for the airport, it really needs to tie into the airline, the train, and other tools. And so having those conversations with our client, Avinor, they began to realize they actually needed to talk to others. And as we began talking to the train and the airline, we started to recognize they were all asking the same question. How can we get people to use our app? How can we be relevant? So that was an opportunity where I, being the connector that I am, took a step back and said, hang on a second. We can answer this question three times. Or how about if we, as the objective provider, find a room, bring you all together, and we will facilitate you learning from each other and exploring how you could build that app. And that, in essence, became the foundation for the first Executive Growth Forum. And interestingly, kind of reflecting back now 3 years later, you know, having spent time getting to know you, Leo, and going back through the Power of Peers book, you know, looking back, we actually used those principles in that first situation, in that the first thing I did when they kind of all nodded saying, yeah, we'll try it, was identify what are the right people to bring around that table. Let's get 8 to 12 providers in the transportation ecosystem, the airline, the airport, the train, but let's bring in the bus company, the parking company, the hotel operator, the airline transportation people. Let's bring the right players around the table. Then number two, let's make sure that we set this up where it is truly a safe, trusted, confidential environment. The number one ground rule was what's said in the room stays in the room. And number three, to ensure that I in particular was facilitating that conversation in such a way that everyone participated. You had to show up and be willing to contribute, that everyone was heard, and that everyone left with key tangible benefits and value as a result of that session, which led to principle number four, which is the accountability aspect. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what really has set these executive growth forums apart from other meetings, discussions, get-togethers, is when people leave the session, they leave having committed to themselves and to the other 12 people around the table, committed to taking some action, to doing something, to actually applying and trying and exploring to use in their real-world business what they discussed and learned in this forum.
You know, when you use the analogy of the app, right? I mean, Randy, isn't this fascinating when you think about it? Like, if you think about the end user and that rather than have them download 20 different apps in order to figure out what's going on, they could actually go to one place where this is actually put together in a way that, you know, is so in everybody's interest. It's the end user, it's all the players, it's everybody involved in order to actually create something. And having, I think, both the generosity and courage to collaborate to create something like that is pretty remarkable.
Well, it's taken API to a whole new level, right, Jennifer? I mean, that's really what it's doing. It's human API.
It truly, truly is. And it comes out of breaking down the barriers, facilitating the conversation, and encouraging people to look for opportunities to collaborate together. What I think has really fueled the growth of this is that in selecting the people and the companies to participate in a group, they all have a consistent challenge. They recognize they need to do something different in their business to be ready for future success. Consistent challenge, different perspective to that. And because they have those consistent challenges, they are completely invested in learning from each other. So if, for example, in the forums, each forum is designed where a member, one of the participants, brings a case. The case meaning his issue or challenge. As he shares his issue, we have a new service that we're working to gain adoption with the end customers. Here's what's worked, here's what hasn't. As he shares that, others around the table start to recognize, you know, we've got exactly that same issue. Or we had that problem 6 months ago, and here's what we did to solve it. Mm. Let me share that with him. And so through that shared challenge, they all are bought into the guy that brought the issue succeeding. Because when he leaves with a commitment of, I heard from all of you, here's what I'm going to go do, try. Over the next 3 months, as he tries and implements the feedback that he got, the others are anxiously awaiting to see how that worked.
The uniqueness of this to me is Jennifer, and we've talked a little bit offline too, is that the ecosystem, as you call it, the industry that all of these people are in, even though they're not competitors.
Correct.
But they're all in the same ecosystem, and the fact that they can come together to not just solve their own individual problems, but to make a big impact on their entire industry. I would assume that's a big driver for their participation in something like this.
That is a huge, huge driver. And it comes out of what I call collective learning. We learn from each other, but it also is through the collaboration that is sparked. Because as they see, I'm trying to build my app, you're trying to build your app, they start to recognize we need to work together. And in fact, that actually happened with that first group in transportation. At the end of the second forum, two of the companies agreed between themselves, we're going to go off and we're going to continue these discussions. And we're going to work together offline in what Silicon Valley term, I would say a skunk works kind of project, to actually experiment with building the app. Mm. And interestingly, in 9 months, in three forums where we got updates along the way, 9 months later, they had designed it, they had developed it, and they'd actually piloted a prototype of an app in 9 months. And both companies said, had we gone the siloed traditional approach where we went to each of our boards and we got a mandate and then we had a strategy and then we had a budget, it could have been 9 years and still not have accomplished anything. So
it's real speed, you know, certainly the speed of it is one thing. Second, what I really love about it is, if people, oftentimes, if they're having a particular problem and they go to solve it on their own, they may solve the problem, but they may be doing so in a way that adversely affects other people that are part of that ecosystem, completely unintentional, but exactly. They just didn't know. I mean, they just, and sometimes these things aren't even immediate, and which is makes it difficult to make the connection. Sometimes it could be a couple of years before people start feeling it and to try to trace that back. But what I really love about this, and you and I, you know, have talked about this idea that when we wrote The Power of Peers, we talked a bit about the World Economic Forum in Davos. Mm-hmm. We talked about the Aspen Institute or the Milken Institute and the fact that often when they do these large conferences, you bring people together, connecting them, as you talk about, where all of a sudden in the same room, you've got people who probably, you know, there's no media, there's no shining lights, there's no all this other stuff. But these are people who also occupy the same planet, who you might imagine are at polar opposite positions, yet they want the same thing for this world. They want the same thing for, because they understand that for all of us to thrive, we do, in the end of the day, really need to understand one another first and see where there are opportunities to work together. When this happens, though, typically in those forums, I wouldn't say it's intentional necessarily. I think it's, you know, bringing people together like that, conversations get started, and then offline, those things start to take. What I love about what you're doing is that it's intentional. Mm-hmm. That it really seeks out some of these issues. It's about bringing people together very intentionally, organizing that, and getting them involved and working together and seeing how the power of that collaboration can help everyone.
And it really is intentional to have the right people. I would say there is a serendipity that goes with this, because as it has grown over the last 2 years, and it has grown very quickly, by the way, we're now at 5 groups in Oslo, Norway.
Yeah, and tell us about, because those 5 groups are in different sectors too. So I'd like people to get a sense of, like, this isn't just working in one area. This is, you know, you've got some pretty good reach here already.
Exactly. And I mean, that's one of the really good things about piloting and bringing something new to Europe via Oslo, Norway. It's a very small country. So you can bring the key players in a ecosystem or industry together. And when something works, it grows quickly. So within a year of those first forums, we had interest and demand and built the second group, which is termed smart environment. And that includes everything from buildings to facilities to power to utilities, maintenance for how we live in a smart environment, home, office, the way we work, live, and play. Thirdly, is the consumer group, which is everything around B2C. So hospitality, food and beverage, shopping, entertainment, charity work. It's all around how do you interface within customers, get adoption, customer experience, and growth. And a lot of collaboration opportunities between the players in that ecosystem. Fourthly is industry, which are the large B2B long process players, which include companies like Yara in agriculture, Kongsberg Gruppen in defense, Telenor in technology, where they're all struggling with new business models, new ways of going to market, and interfacing with customers in a world of innovation. And fifthly, recently launched is the health group. And we're really excited about that because there's so many opportunities for collaboration and innovation, whether it's from med device to pharma to patient care. How does that tie into government systems, insurance, nutrition? There's lots of possibilities for true collective learning within that ecosystem.
Well, there's certainly a lot of people in the U.S. that would love to see that happen here in terms of our own healthcare system, that's for sure. Imagine bringing those players to the table. That would be...
It's hard to imagine accomplishing that.
Well, I like big challenges, and I'll jump ahead a little bit because one of the things I'm personally very, very excited about and looking forward to coming in the next months is now that we've proven that this works and we have a structure and a model and formed groups in Oslo, we want to scale this. So if you think about transportation, health, consumer, take those concepts of what we're learning in Oslo, that collective knowledge of what works and doesn't work in the real world, and we establish those same groups in London, where we've already done a quite successful pilot of the concept, in Amsterdam, in Brussels, in Tel Aviv, Innovation Center, in Cape Town, where we can have huge impact on these topics, and tie all of that back to the foundation of Silicon Valley, to indeed share what we're learning in Europe on things like transportation and health that are desperately needed in America. And there can be sharing of the latest technologies, tools, and capabilities, Silicon Valley and Austin, other hubs across America, back into the EMEA ecosystem. That's what makes me really excited because I really think we can be a contributor to global change and impact on some major issues that are really causing us all to struggle with future readiness of our society and our planet.
What's interesting is as we talk about this, on one hand, it seems very big and very involved to get all of these players at the table. And yet at the same time, I think, and what's proven is that once you do, it actually creates the ability to actually be more nimble and respond to change and actually even lead change in the marketplace in a way that might be much more difficult had you not had that collaboration. So that to me is really exciting. May feel counterintuitive to some people, but I think, in effect, that's exactly what you're able to do. And I also think that it doesn't surprise me at some level that as you get people involved and they really start sticking their hands in the clay and they get a feeling about what this is like, that it dawns on them that, of course, of course this works. Of course this makes sense, you know. So I really applaud a lot of what you're doing. And, you know, I know you've got some things coming up. You and I, of course, have talked about your upcoming conference at the end of August. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so as we have facilitated these forums, and we've done about 26 forums across the various groups over the last couple of years, there's been a consistent set of themes and learnings that have bubbled to the surface across all of the groups. Themes such as, how do we really drive executive leadership understanding of what's needed? Organizationally, how do we structure ourselves to be truly future ready and future proof? So to address those questions and to begin to get a higher level of cross-group thinking within Oslo, we have planned our first innovation symposium for the 28th of August. And we're delighted, Leo, that you will be joining us. We will also be bringing in inspirational but also innovation thought leaders, such as Chris Katerna, the author of Age of Discovery out of the England, as well as people such as Anders Inset out of Germany as a real business philosopher. People that can give us insight into how organizations, leaders can drive forward with greater perspective. So that's one aspect of the end of August. The other aspect is we are leveraging that opportunity, and especially with having you in town, Leo, that we'll leverage that as the beginning of facilitator training to certify group leaders and to certify people that are interested in being chapter leaders in other countries around Europe. So that will be the beginning of our scaling into other areas.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I do love the whole theme around innovation, essentially. I mean, certainly among the key words, we've talked about innovation, we've talked about perspective, that unique perspective you get when all of a sudden you can, as William Urey talks about, get up in the balcony and have a look and kind of see the whole picture, as opposed to being kind of where we are and having a very limited view oftentimes. And I think those things are just really remarkable, and I can't tell you how exciting it is to see what you're doing, the early traction you've gotten on it so far, and what the possibilities are for the future. I mean, in your mind, you know, as you think about this 5 years from now, what's that going to look like?
Good question. Perfect world, it would look like a situation in where we have 20, 30 different chapters on a global basis with groups structured similarly to what we have in Oslo, so that we can really go deep in impact within ecosystems and industries around key topics. We will have regular communications and expeditions between groups, including back into Silicon Valley, where we will have integrated companies such as the Googles and the Microsoft and the Amazons of the world into these concepts and collaborations, but also the research centers, whether that's Stanford Research, UC Berkeley, as well as the entrepreneurial activities, plugging into groups such as Rocket Stars, such as Plug and Play, and really building a true ecosystem on a global basis and a community of innovation sharing and learning and real world application.
I love the reach that it's going to have, because when you start talking about ecosystems, you're talking about people who will be knowingly and unknowingly impacted by some of this great work. And it's just, I think, you know, really exciting to kind of watch this and actually, you know, through some participation in the conference, I'm excited to be speaking there and get to be a small part of it as we start thinking more about it. It's really exciting and, you know, appreciate all of that. Randy, thoughts?
Yeah. And if people want to get involved, Jennifer, how best to have our audience contact you or find out more about this work?
Sure. Great point. We are actively seeking people that want to be involved, either interested in becoming a member. We do have some spaces open in each of the groups in Oslo, Norway for innovative leaders that want to be future ready and commit to change. We have opportunities for group leaders, and that can be both in Oslo or in other countries and other regions, as well as people that are interested in being chapter leaders to actually work with this, become certified, and build this in your local area. I see this organization of the Executive Growth Alliance truly a power of peers concept. I have no desire to build this on my own, so very open to people that want to participate, work together, become equity owners, and help in building something to really drive change. So the best way to reach me would be either through my email address, jvessels@nextstepgrowth.com, via LinkedIn, via Twitter, via my mobile phone, 650-218-0902. I really, really look forward to any engagement and contact and suggestions.
We'll put all that in the show notes for those people that are listening in your car or on the treadmill, so you don't have to stop what you're doing. We'll put those in the show notes for today's episode. It's a big opportunity because it's solving really big problems. And I appreciate you being on today, Jennifer.
I like especially that it shows me, and I think shows us all, that the fact that you don't want to do this all by yourself clearly shows that you're not only a believer in the power of peers, but you actually are taking action in very much the same way. So that's really, just great to see. But again, thank you so much for being on the show today. And we look forward to I look forward to seeing you in Norway, of course, if not earlier. And we will keep an eye out on Executive Growth Alliance. So thanks so much.
Super. Thank you. Thank you.
To learn more about our show and what we do, to submit questions to us, and to subscribe to What Anyone Can Do podcast, please visit our website, whatanyonecando.com. What Anyone Can Do podcast is hosted by Leo Battari and me, Randy Cantrell. Music provided by Kevin MacLeod is Vibe Ace, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks for watching or listening. We hope you'll share the podcast.